It's time for This Week in WordPress, episode number 311, entitled This Year's Weekly WordPress. It was recorded on Monday, the 14th of October, 2024. My name's Nathan Wrigley, and today I am joined by Remke Stavris, by Tim Nash, and by Birgit Pauli Hack. We're going to talk about WordPress, and there sure is a lot to talk about. Caveat emptor, we do try and steer away from the drama, although we get into the stories there, get into some of the bits and pieces about ACF and WP Engine. We do try to skirt away from that, but the top of the show is mainly about that, and then we move on to other things. So we talk about forking WordPress, about ACF, about the checkbox on the WordPress.org website login page, and then we get into the WordPressy stuff, WordPress 6.7 Beta 2, about Gutenberg 19.4 and all of the updates over there, about the fact that WordPress 6.7 is about to drop and we need your help testing it, and all of the nice new features that are in there. The developer blog gets a mention. HeroPress also gets a mention, and congratulations for turning 10. WooSesh is coming around the corner. The WordPress Accessibility Day just happened, and some people have got some things to say about that. Nice, I think. We have a new executive director, and we get into that story as well. And then AI, plugins around AI, the 10th anniversary of Jeff Starr's endeavors, and a whole lot more. And it's all coming up next on This Week in WordPress. This episode of the WP Builds podcast is brought to you by GoDaddy Pro, the home of managed WordPress hosting that includes free domain, SSL, and 24/7 support. Bundle that with the Hub by GoDaddy Pro to unlock more free benefits to manage multiple sites in one place, invoice clients, and get 30% off new purchases. Find out more at go.me/WPBuilds. And by Bluehost. Redefine your web hosting experience with Bluehost Cloud. Managed WordPress hosting that comes with lightning-fast websites, 100% network uptime, and 24/7 priority support. With Bluehost Cloud, the possibilities are out of this world. Experience it today at bluehost.com/cloud. And by Omnisend. Do you sell your stuff online? Then meet Omnisend. Yes, that Omnisend. The email and SMS tool that helps you make 73 bucks for every dollar spent. The one that's so good, it's almost boring. Hate the excitement of rollercoaster sales? Prefer a steady line going up? Try Omnisend today at omnisend.com. And by Memberful. Building a membership website? Check out Memberful. Memberful allows you to easily add gated content, private member spaces, payment collection, and more to your WordPress website. Get started for free at memberful.com/WPBuilds. That's memberful.com/WPBuilds.
Hello, it's This Week in WordPress, episode number 311, and I've already got a title for it. It's called The Week Though Nothing Happened at All. There's no show here.
Thank you all for being here. Bye.
Yeah, bye. Bye-bye. It's been a pleasure. Bye. take it easy. No, quite a bit happened, but I'm going to get to that in a moment. Let's first of all do our sort of round-robin introductions to all of the different people who we've got here. First up, where shall I go first? Let's go for Remkes first, because he's right. He's just where my eyes landed. How are you doing, Remkes?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. I don't know how I'm going to be in 90 minutes' time, but for now, I'll ask again. Yeah, okay, thank you. Remkes, let me just find my mouse. Where's it gone? Okay, here we go. Let's go. Remkes, hopefully I've got your updated bio. If I get halfway through it and it's not the updated one, just tell me to stop. Remkes is a WordPress performance specialist and co-founder of Scanfully, which is a WordPress site health monitoring service. He loves building fast and scaling websites. And next to that, he's also a content creator with the Within WordPress newsletter, which I apparently crib. You'll find out about that in a moment. And he also produces a podcast over there. Remkes has been very active in the WordPress community for over 15 years as a co-founder of WordCamp Europe and WordCamp Netherlands. Was that the right bio?
Probably. I don't know.
Okay, good, good. That's great. I mean, but go check it out. Go check out, go Google Scanfully, Scanfully, and also within WordPress, and go and subscribe to all the different things that Remkes is up to. Next one is Tim Nash, who's just dropped an email into my inbox. How are you doing, Tim?
I'm all right. How are you?
Yeah, random muttering email. Unfortunately, it arrived just at the moment when I was kind of getting ready for this show, so I haven't had a chance to check that out.
One of nice, calming things. There is no drama in it whatsoever.
Okay, good. I like to hear it. Right. Tim's bio literally starts with the following words. It says, deep breath, Nathan. Okay, so let's see where this goes. Right. Oh, I see, because it's long. Right. Got it.
Okay. Nap right now.
Yeah, okay, ready? Here we go. Tim Nash is the managing director of Tempered Limited, a UK-based limited company that trades under the brand name Tim Nash. Oh, here we go. Under the brand name Tim Nash. Tim Nash is the person who is here, is legally distinct from the Tim Nash, the brand which provides security consultancy, the open source content management system WordPress. Tim Nash, the person who owns timnash.co.uk, has been involved in the open source community surrounding WordPress for a very long time. He writes a newsletter, timnash.co.uk/newsletter, which is distributed through Tempered Limited account, but whose sign-up form is on the site timnash.co.uk, which we have already stated is owned by Tim Nash, the person, not the Tempered Limited, trading as Tim Nash. Good grief, you really thought about this. Finally, Tim Nash, the person, may or may not be the brand. I'm not entirely sure at this point. It may or may not be affiliated with WP Builds, where he recently did a couple of podcasts. You should check them out. Tim Nash, the person, not the brand. Thanks you for not confusing him with a brand or a lawyer. That was great. Oh, I'm going to have a moment.
Is that all clear?
Yeah, I really got it. I'm going to have to read that again, I think, a bit later. Anyway, that's Tim there. Or there. I don't know which one of them's Tim, frankly, anymore. Yeah, that one. That one. There we go. Okay, so there's Tim. I appreciate that. Humor is what we need in these dark times. And we're also joined, beat that, Birgit. We're also joined by Birgit Pauli-Hack. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I came back from a group hug in WordCamp Karlsruhe, so I'm all good.
I saw you with Birgit Olsen. And yes. And I think I've only ever seen you two in the flesh on a screen like this. It's nice to see the two Birgits. And I think you wrote the Birgit and the other Birgit or something like that, which was kind of nice.
It was Birgit's first, yeah.
Oh, lovely. Anyway, here we go. Birgit Pauli-Hack is the publisher of Gutenberg Times, a site with news around the WordPress block editor and beyond. She hosts regular Gutenberg Live Q&As on YouTube and hosts the Gutenberg Changelog podcast. Birgit has been contributing to the WordPress open source project since 2014 and contributes now full-time, sponsored by Automattic. Woo-hoo. Anyway, welcome, the three of you. And hopefully this show goes without too much incident. There are many pitfalls along the way in life, and I fear that I've put one in your path today, but some caveats. But before we get to those caveats, let's have a quick look at the live chat. If you would like to join us, honestly, it makes the show so much better if people contribute. And the best way to do that is to head here. You can see Remkes is almost like holding it there. Look at that. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, go on. Oh, nearly. wpbuilds.com/live. Once more, wpbuilds.com/live. If you end up there, then you've got a couple of options if you want to comment. The YouTube comments are embedded on the right on a desktop, or beneath on a mobile, and you need to be logged into Google. Yeah, he's got it. Look at it, the whole breath frightening. And if you don't fancy being logged into Google because you've got a position about that, that's fine. You can use the chat widget, which is embedded inside the video. Top right of the video, I think it's in a little black button, it says live chat or something like that. Go in there, put your name in. And the platform that we use, which is called Wave, presumably they'll get some knowledge about you, but maybe just your IP address or whatever. So feel free. Put your bits and pieces in there. That would be great. Okay. Who have we got? So we are being joined today by Courtney Robertson, joining in with a hot mug of tea. Tammy Lister is a tea influencer.
Tammy.
Yeah, I still have the kittens, poppies, and sheep video, but I don't know if I'm going to deploy it. I don't know if we've got any bombs to deploy on this week. We will see. Thanksgiving to friends in Canada, apparently. Okay, there you
yes.
go. I didn't know that. And Tammy Lister's hopping in to say it's chai latte with a splash of vanilla and oat milk. Okay, so we've got two things that happen now. Apparently, we not only get the weather forecast, we now get tea and coffee updates as well. So this is great. This is all going in the right direction.
Well, Andrew, that's not the brand.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, don't mention the brand.
WPT, what is this? What now?
What is tea? Yeah, it's this warm brown stuff that doesn't taste like coffee that they drink in the UK. And you have to deploy the finger. The little pinky finger has to come out and you drink it. Andrew says it's going to be tough. No, Andrew, this will be a breeze. All you do is ignore the weird stuff and do it that way. No, we'll try to tackle some of it. Tim saying that he drinks Yorkshire tea. And apparently Andrew says it's the only real tea. I'm on water, just in case anybody cares. There you go. And Marcel is joining us. Marcel Boatsman. Hey, old fresh bottle of water next to me. Legs on desk. Oh, nice. That's something we should do one week. Everybody with their legs on the desk. See how that... No, Remkes, no. No. Oh, God. Okay. All right. It's not a good look. But put the legs away. Tim Wilmot. No. Tim Wilmot says, hi. Tea, Yorkshire, tepid.
Not Tim.
That about sums us up, doesn't it? Tea, Yorkshire, tepid. There you go. We've got a few waves and a few highs. Ben, I don't know where Ben is right at this minute, but he hails from the Philippines. So if you're joining us from there, appreciate it. It must be like crazy o'clock in the morning. Wait, something happened. No, Jess, no, nothing happened. Kathy's joining us. Good morning, eating my yogurt with with not a fork this morning. Is that a reference to something? And then here we go. Alas, normality has returned because Peter Ingersoll is telling us about the weather in Connecticut. 6 degrees centigrade, 43 degrees Fahrenheit, and it's rainy. Nice to see so many smiley, happy people. Right, we need more of that, don't we, at the minute? Smiling. So everybody smile or else.
That's halfway,
halfway through Remkes's bio. We'll take an hour. Okay. And where's loads? Honestly, I can't get through it all. I do apologize, everybody. But we're joined by Marcus Burnett. Very nice. We're joined by James Kemp. We're joined by Atif, by Max and Reese and a few other. I'm sorry, I can't keep up. James, hi there. Hi there, hi there, hi there. Okay. Okay. I'm sorry. I can't keep up. But there we go. So it is. It is sad that I have to begin any episode with some caveats, but I'm going to. And it's not really sad. I'm just inoculating our guests, really. So you know what's going on. If you've got any ears to the ground in the WordPress space, you know that there's stuff that is fairly difficult to talk about. There's opinions over here and there's opinions over here. And we're just going to stay away from all that, right? The plan is I'm going to do this little slot at the beginning, just me, where I say what has happened. If you've got an opinion on it and it involves you being impolite or calling somebody out, please don't bother. Just don't bother. Just go and find somewhere else to shout it. X is a fabulous platform if you want to be angry. Just go over there and do it. It's really wonderful for that. But not here. Let's keep it nice and polite. Honestly, I feel like a school mom and I apologize for that. But the idea is to keep it nice and polite. If you've got an opinion and you can do that politely, feel free. Dive in. But if you sense your anger rising, then don't. Just put a lid on it and do it somewhere else. The other thing to say is these guests, it's totally up to them what they want to contribute to. I have no idea what the proclivities of their situation is, whether or not they are allowed to say things or not allowed to say things. So if they want to, they can chime in. If they don't want to, that's utterly fine by me. So there we go. There's the rules of the road. And with that, here we go. Right, first thing, bit of self-promotion. This is WP Builds. This is our website. We do this each week. But just to let you know that a couple of things happening over here. The first one is that we have our Black Friday page. If you want to get on our Black Friday page and you've got a product or service, then feel free, just sort of scroll down here and you can click this add a deal button and you'll go to a form and there you can add a deal. It's totally free. And then you'll be in this list where you can search and filter. There's a bunch of people that have done that already. You can see it's sort of hotting up. Typically, by Black Friday, there's about 300 or 400 things on there, something like that. And the way we make this work is we offer these little advertising spots at the top, and you can see that Gravity Forms and WS Form have taken us up on that offer so far. If you're a business in the WordPress space and you would like to go pride a place on that, click this Get Started button. And there's three slots, two of which have gone at the top, and then there's these slightly smaller ones down here. So if you fancy doing that, wpbuilds.com/black, or just hit that button there at the top of our website. The other thing to say is a big thank you to our sponsors who keep the lights on over here. Real big thanks to GoDaddy Pro, Bluehost, OmniSend, and Memberful. Thank you so much for helping the podcast keep the lights on. That's really, really great. And the only other thing to add is I did a podcast this week with Matt Lau from Mindspun. And if you're into e-commerce, but e-commerce in a slightly different way, you know how on your phone now you've got your digital wallet and you can pay for things just by putting your fingerprint in? That's what Mindspun does for digital products. And it's kind of an interesting offer. So go and check that out as well. Alrighty, here we go. You have to say this slowly. And I'm not going to say why, but I'm going to say the word forking, okay, is beautiful. So this came, this was Matt Mullenweg, 10th of October. And the context of this will become clear in a moment if you haven't seen this so far. But WordPress itself was a fork of a previous project called B2 or Cafe Log. And WordPress grew out of that. It was forked initially by Mike Little and Matt Mullenweg, and then the whole community has been sort of, you know, playing with that fork of WordPress or that software ever since then. And the idea with the license that WordPress ships is that everybody can fork WordPress and turn it into their own variant of it. And a couple of name drops. Classic Press did it in 2018, and we've got some new players doing it right now for reasons which I'm sure are obvious to everybody. FreeWP, and then there's one here called Aspire Press and Open Press, which it says is not a fork. But anyway, I think Matt wanted to get out there and say, we're okay with people forking things. And that leads us to this story. So a little bit earlier in the week, the ACF plugin, which is on the WordPress.org repo, I mean, it's fabulously popular. I think millions is the right word, like a couple of million installs. It allows you to add loads of metadata. It basically allows you to take your WordPress install, your vanilla install, and kind of turn it into a, in air quotes, a proper CMS. All sorts of amazing functionality. It was originally designed by and built by Elliot Condon. He's been on this podcast several times, actually. And an amazing product that he grew. The support burden for that, I think, grew too much for him. So he sold it initially to Delicious Brains, who then subsequently sold it to WP Engine. And now you can see where the story goes. WP Engine are the current custodians of ACF. And at some point during the week, the ACF version on WordPress.org altered, and it disappeared, and it got a new name. And its new name is Secure Custom Fields. And at this point, you might be thinking to yourself, fine, the name has changed. So what? Well, there is a bit of a so what, and the so what is as follows. The plugin has been taken over, and I'll read it here. So on behalf of the WordPress security team, so this is, I think, forgive me if I've got this wrong. This is a quote from Matt Mullenweg. On behalf of the WordPress security team, I am announcing that we are invoking point 18 of the plugin directory guidelines and are forking advanced custom fields into a new plugin, which is going to be called Secure Custom Fields, or SCF for short. It has been updated to remove commercial upsells and fix a security problem. And then there's a screenshot here of section 18. I'd never heard of any of these sections, frankly, because I'm not a plugin or theme developer. But here they are. And the ones which sort of seem to, I guess, fit in section 18 were the following: to disable or remove any plugin from the directory, even for reasons not explicitly covered by the guidelines. That seems like a catch-all phrase for kind of we can do what we like to anything, I guess, something like that. And then to make changes to a plugin without developer consent in the interest of public safety. So if you were in your WordPress install and you had ACF from the repository installed and you updated it, it would update to SCF. So they forked it, but they kept the same slog, meaning that it's not like this is a separate version of ACF, which has just got a new name. It is now ACF. They've literally sort of taken it over. And obviously here, Matt is outlining why that is in his view, why that's okay. And the backlash from the community was pretty quick. Lots of people sort of saying, it feels like you've basically just sort of hijacked a plugin, you've used the same slug and so on. Again, caveats, I'm not trying to paint my side of any story, I'm just trying to raise what's going on. And this article on the WP Tavern, which is entitled ACF Plugin Fork to Secure Custom Fields Plugin, lists out exactly what happened as far as Jolzner is concerned, and then goes into a bunch of tweets, the reaction from WP Engine, who I guess it would be fair to say feel that the plugin has been kind of usurped from them, taken from them, and they feel, you know, that this wasn't the normal way of going about doing things. And then you get the reaction from the community, and there's a bunch of tweets, which I'm not going to read out. So that's a pretty big story in the sense that I don't know of anything like this that has happened in our community before. So I'm going to stop talking about it there. I'm going to just offer it to our panelists. If they want to drop in, that's all cool. If not, I'll just go on to my next bit. Okay, ready. In which case, I will go on to my next bit. So you can see that those two stories are combined. You got the forking story from Matt, which was there. And then you've got this, sorry, I'm modeling things up there. There we go. Then we've got the ACF story as well. Okay. Now, another thing which happened this week, which was new to me at least, this may have happened before, but I've certainly not seen it, is that if you were trying to log into WordPress.org, typically username, password, and maybe there's a checkbox or something on there normally to sort of say that you, I don't know, you agree to terms and conditions. I can't remember. But there appeared a new checkbox, and here we can see what it said. I am not affiliated with WP Engine in any way, financially or otherwise, and my understanding is that without actually checking that box, the login was unavailable to you. It wasn't like this was an option. I think you had to tick it in order to pass through that gateway. And at some point, there was an actual link to a story. This, I think, is now gone, but that was listed there as well. So you basically had to say that you were not, and the words here are, affiliated with WP Engine in any way, financially or otherwise. And there was a lot of consternation in the community because people who are not legal, I'm not at all, wanted to know what affiliated meant. The confusion around that, because obviously, you know, if you are ticking this box and you are in some way affiliated, I don't know, the examples went like this, you know, I've got a plugin, I use their hosting, I have a client who uses their hosting, you know, you can imagine all the different scenarios. And so I think, again, it was fair to say that there was a lot of consternation about this because people felt that this was new, a little bit unusual, and not something that's seen before. And I think it's fair to say that the combination of these two stories have left many people questioning whether or not they wish to be part of the community. I've seen some people who have left and saying, you know, I'm done with WordPress, etc., and pointing out that a combination of these two or one of the two things was enough to sort of tip them over the edge there. And obviously, that's a great shame. The other thing to say is, it's gone out of my head, the other thing to say. Anyway, there we go. That was that story. Anything to add to that?
Can I just go back one story and just say that the bit you missed when you were talking about the backlash was, I think it's fair to say most of the backlash wasn't about forking. It was about forking. And that this was perhaps not what most people would describe as a fork. I think everybody who is rational realizes that the WordPress repository's guidelines say, yeah, they can do whatever they like. As do most, if you ever read any legal terms, when you sign up and deposit your code wherever, GitHub, whatever it is, ultimately there's going to be this little paragraph that says, nah, 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 we can do what we like. So that's, but the taking of the slug and therefore keeping the reviews, keeping the name, keeping the SEO benefits, keeping the users wouldn't, if you said that outside of the current events and said, this is a fork, people would look at you and go, is it? Is that what we used to? So it's not what we used to call forks.
Can I just explain that then? So yeah. if you were to go to the WordPress repository and correctly find the advanced custom fields free repository plugin, it would obviously be bound with all of the history and the reviews and all of that. And the thing here is because they've taken the slog, then all of those reviews are now bound to this new fork, right? Is that's it? Have I got that about right?
Yep, yeah, but you've also now got a different entity managing this. So,
okay. So
everybody who updated overnight went from WP Engine, who were the custodians and are the custodians of ACF, to a new product, SCF, which is WordPress.org. For most people, who actually manages the plugin doesn't matter to them. But there aren't going to be companies who literally have it written in their paperwork that says, we have perhaps not a contract with WP Engine, but we have one of the people who manage this software, they're named in a piece of paper. Now, okay, it might be quite easy to swap over a piece of paper and change the names, but there was no option. You didn't know what was going to happen. As someone who has spent 10 years pushing automatic updates, this is a very scary thing because now somebody else is managing that and it is a different organization. And that's whether it's a better organization or whether it was justified, all of that's irrelevant. It simply is now a different organization. And this was happened to end users without their consent. And that's, I think, a part of the problem because with automatic updates, and with the manual update process, you couldn't see what was going to happen. It said, there is an update available to advanced custom themes. When you clicked it, you became secure custom themes.
Okay.
Now, that, again, is there was no consent given on those two points. And that could prove problematic for certain organizations.
Birgit, did I hear you wanting to...
So if I understood this whole problem correctly, it is... that if you want to, so WP Engine was banned from .org. Yeah.
That was context that I didn't put in. I forgot about that. Yeah, thank you.
And there was a big outcry that now the plugin would be abandoned and stale because they can't update it. Now the security team has taken over that plugin and issued a security update because they found security issues, or one issue. I'm not a security expert, but I know that you are not able to roll out an update, a security update, without coming it from the same slug. So right now they are kind of between a rock and a hard place if they want to keep that secure. So I just wanted to put that in because that doesn't seem to be known around even the most of the plugin developers, that if a security issue is there and the plugin developer is not issuing that, but the security team takes over, then it needs to be from the same slug. Now, I know also, and I saw this in a meta channel, that people are working on the security, on the meta team are working on to make it that you don't have to use the same slug. And that's code change that needs to be happen on meta. But I think that's the way forward. So it has nothing really. Well, yeah, but you can see it from any way as you want. But the security
issue that I'm terrified.
I have speak all your things.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Tim. And that's all I had to say.
Oh, I'm sorry. Just to clarify one thing, you can push an update as a contributor without taking over as an organization. For example, the security release that was done before secure custom fields was created was pushed out by a member of WordPress.org. They did that. If you go into the subversion control, you can see the subversion entry made by that member of staff, and that was pushed out and then through. That is different to an entire organizational takeover. Now, they manage that long term, and that's a very fair thing to argue. Yeah. But the argument that they had to do this doesn't hold weight because they'd already shown how they could do it.
Well, the first time it was somebody from WP Engine who, in that window where they were banned, and then it was opened up. And then
there's a different Otto knocking around. As far as I can see, the patch was done by Otto. In this particular,
well, I thought that was the last one. Yeah.
Previously it might not have been, but you can see WP Engine, Otto, WordPress.org.
I think I'm going to sort of hijack the conversation here. So
yeah, we're going into real support.
No, yeah, it's okay. It's really fascinating and interesting. I think really you could encapsulate this as there's a lot of people just detecting things which are just a little bit different. Let's go with that. Just, you know, not things that you've seen too much of before. And because of that, there's, you know, lots of fear and, you know, whether or not, let's say you're a plugin or a theme developer, whether this may or may not be something that you need to concern yourself about, those kind of things. Anyway, the point is, that's the story. So that's kind of where we're at now. So we had this login box, which, you know, clearly pointed to the ongoing dispute between WP Engine and Automattic. And then you had this plugin takeover. So two kind of really fairly big stories in the course of this week. Whoops, excuse me. Let me see if I can find the other one. So we did that one. This must be the other one. And then I'll just end this little section where I'm sort of just speaking to the camera. And then something else that happened this week was that WP GraphQL, which is I'll just read actually. Again, this is from the Tavern. WP GraphQL, a popular plugin that provides an extendable GraphQL schema, is set to become a canonical plugin for WordPress.org on WordPress.org. Its creator, Jason Baal, has joined Automattic. And I guess the piece that paints it into this part of the podcast is the fact that, you know, he's an employee, which is now an automatician who's come from WP Engine. You can read all about that elsewhere. Anyway, a canonical plugin is something which is kind of akin to something which is in core, but you don't necessarily have to have it, but it's going to get that same sort of attention to detail. The idea being that this plugin now, if it becomes a canonical plugin, you'll be able to utterly trust updates and things like that, because hopefully the work has been done in the background. And so anyway, there are my four little bits at the top that I thought could be incendiary. And I just wanted to say what's happened. No doubt the comments have been saying, everybody's giving their opinion. I thank you if you've kept it polite. That's great. That would be what I'd wish. I don't at the moment have time to go through and read them all, but has anybody got one that they've seen? Like Remkes, have you got some in there? Because you've
I like this last one by Jason, because in his own blog post about this, he highlights that there will be a renewed focus on more development time for WP GraphQL, and I think that's a great thing to see happening.
Great. Is that a comment in our show, or is that a comment on the article that we're looking at, the WP Graph?
The article we're looking at, yeah.
Okay, great. Perfect. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Okay. So make of it what you will. Honestly, I can totally see why both sides have got an argument in this. And I fear that there's more to come. One of the things which has got nothing to do with the stories, but the stories are the catalyst, is it does seem to me like a bit of a shame, the impact, shall we say, on the community. Like if you could just push away the stories and just read the text which are going backwards and forwards, it does seem like we've stepped into some sort of adversarial space, and people that seem to be only friendly towards everybody, there's now there's a few lines in the sand that have been drawn, and it's pulled out of people lines that they wish they'd never had to have crossed. And I think let's just hope that time can be a healer and that we don't have more people who are getting fed up and leaving the community. You never know. There is a possibility that in a year's time, we'll look back on this. The rifts will have gone away. Well, we'll be back to something a little bit more peaceful.
Those of us who've been in the community for 15 plus, almost 20 years, there have been WP dramas before.
Yeah.
We have lived on, even thrived in certain ways, you could say. But I do want to recognize that this is one of those things where you, like I'm done in terms of having to spend negative energy.
Yeah.
And that for me, and this is not, I'm purposely not voicing my opinion on a public platform like this. But I think it's important to, I saw a tweet from Syed this morning where he essentially says, if you can be kind, be kind. And I think we're starting to lose a lot of that perspective.
So yeah, yeah.
So I would just like to highlight that as a whole, because this is a very divisive thing, right?
So
I many of us have friends on both sides of the argument. It's just very tough. And you know, from a legal perspective, we might only know 5% of what's actually going on. So I'd just like to add that as a whole to the whole discussion.
Well, thank you, Remkes.
Big it.
Thank you, Remkes. I just come back from WordCamp Cultural, and it was really, it wasn't discouraged. It was really good to come back to people. You meet them in person, you have a relationship with them, and we all can talk about things, but we all know it needs to be kind. We are all kind to each other, and we know everybody's hurting, or a lot of people are hurting. So we kind of take care of that, yeah, and have a meal together and talk about other things that's going on in other people's lives and what WordPress is about. And that's a community, and I'm really happy that I went, yeah, even if I was kind of hesitant to do it. Being an automatician and all.
One thing that I've learned, which I think probably everybody already knew, so it really is me being just a bit dismally on how to describe it. I don't really interact much on social media, especially X, but I found myself looking at the home bond. Usually I use X or Twitter as an inbox, so I look at the notifications and messages tabs only, and I do literally mean only. That's all I ever use it for. But this last week, I've found myself clicking on the home button, which I think you could just describe as the feed. And it is kind of interesting how the algorithm does seem to surface stuff of a very incendiary nature. I'm digging a little bit further on all of the incendiary stuff. Behind it somewhere is some reasonable position that could have been taken. But what I'm trying to say is if you're using social media as the way of getting the information, it does seem... It's a bonfire, you know, and it pushes you into all the, it's, you know, everybody hates this and just, those people hate that. And
the negative stuff. It's also the positive stuff. I mean, the stuff that is engaged highly with is the stuff that I see. There's way more negative, obviously.
Yeah.
There's way more voicing of negative opinions and you know, there's a lot of sentiment going on. Most of us identify on a very personal level with this piece of software, right? So it's, if you touch that, you touch them. I think perhaps now is a good time to reconsider that direct connection and see that as a role that you do and not you as a personal person being affected. I think that's could be an interesting position for some folks. I see mostly on X constantly tweeting about it. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, it's no longer in our hands if it ever was.
I think that's a really interesting framing of it. And I think you encapsulate it really well there. Like the reason that people throw bombs at each other because they care. And maybe that's something I hadn't really thought about. You know, even if somebody's like really having a go at your position, it's because they care. They're not doing it let's hope they're not. They're not doing it to just get a rise out of you. They're doing it because they've got a real position. Yeah. And it feels like certainly the time that I've been in WordPress, we haven't yet been faced with a boundary quite so severe as this.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's the incendiary stuff which happened this week. And we've we've honestly done far too much time on that already. Go wherever you like to go. WP Tavern's probably a good place to start, but all the, you know, just WordPress news outlets in general will give you all of the details. There's loads that's gone on this week. And but we will move on. We will press on and do other things instead that are related to the actual software itself. So if you're still with us, thank you. Appreciate that. WordPress 6.7, the actual code that we actually care about. Beta 2 is announced. And there's nothing really for me to add into this except to say that if you are a habitual tester of WordPress software prior to its release, well, we're getting very close. November is the deadline. It's like 2 and a bit weeks away to release WordPress 6.7. We'll talk more about that in a moment. But if you want to test it, now's the time. There's loads of ways of doing that. Probably the easiest way is by clicking the link in this article where it says WordPress Playground. In other words, over here, that's a really quick, easy way to do it. If you've got a plugin or a theme or a block or anything like that, time to make sure that it's all working. So there's that. Okay, moving on. I'm kind of going to throw this one a big because this is definitely her area of expertise. So this was a couple of days ago now, a few days ago, Carlos Bravo, What's New in Gutenberg 19.4. I'll just quickly scroll through and we'll take each one at a time. New write design mode. So there's now going to be, I mean, if you're looking at this on the screen, that's great. You'll be able to see what I'm on about. There's new write mode and a design mode, which is going to be right here next to the inserter. And what is this? Is this like focus mode? Does it just sort of strip away all the UI that you don't need? Is that what's going on?
Well, it's actually a renaming of the two features that have been there before.
Okay.
And they were called edit and select. And it's a method that you, so if you are a person who travels the internet via keyboard, especially the block editor, you have two modes. One is to edit and then go through all the toolbar buttons by tabs, or to select and go from block to block to block. And the escape key gets you from one into the other. So for those that are traveling by keyboard, that's really important. For us, for me, who I see a lot of things and can point the mouse to, those differences are not very prominent because it automatically detects if I want to edit that or if I want to select it and then go to the next because mouse travels differently. They are planning to add additional features to it, but it comes out with the zoom out mode that's already in 6.7.
Yeah, we might see an example of that in a minute, actually.
Yeah,
okay. So block bindings editor APIs are now public. I'll just read here. Allows developers to use certain block binding APIs that were previously private and used only in core. And there's some additional stuff here. I should say this article is on make.wordpress.org. Remkes, you were going to say?
Oh, that's very cool. That the block bindings API, you can do so many cool things with that.
Give us a nice little example.
I don't think I need to give an example, but I can give you a better description of what it does. It
allows
you to bind whatever block you have available in your editor to another block in a way that you wouldn't, like programmatically. You can build, for instance, and that this is probably the best example, you can build wonderful mega menus with it. Because you can put anything you want in there, and that binding is what is needed to be able to do that, because right now you can't. But the block bindings API basically provides us with all the tools we need to build those types of wonderful integrations. And then, just think the types of examples that are interesting to look at is if you have patterns and you'd like to include patterns within patterns in a programmatically way, or you just like to be more creative than what you are currently allowed to do, that's what this API will facilitate you a lot in.
Nice.
Yeah, it also allows you to add custom fields to, when you have custom fields, normally you would have to create a template for it and then add it to the front end. And this way you can add it to a block, can add a block and then say, this binds to the text of my book review description. And then it changes it can automatically be on the front end. So that's a really nice thing.
Yeah,
another nice one would be if you have a recipe, yeah, all the ingredients that are in Meta custom fields, you can actually then combine them all in a display.
Perfect. Nice descriptions there. Thank you. There's a bunch of other things on there as well under this notable highlights, but I won't go into those. Those are the two sort of main items. So that's what's happening in Gutenberg 19.4, which was not that long ago. Let's quickly press on. Whoop, hopefully it'll load. I did mention this last week or the week before, but because of the news, it kind of got, you know, hijacked basically. So just another quick one. If you do still want to help, I just mentioned about beta testing, but this article gives you a comprehensive list of all of the different bits and pieces that you can help with, specifically how you can help. So it's like a how-to article of helping. And then there's a load of things in this here checklist, which really would like to be helped with. So I'm not going to read them all out, but it says, if you want to quickly test the update WordPress version's compatibility with your site, please verify the following checks. So that was help test WordPress 6.7. So a thorough explanation of what you can do to help. Okay, finally, some out and out darn good news.
Hang on, that was good news.
Oh, okay, sorry. Yeah, but it was kind of technical good. Yeah, all right, you're right. You are right. I'm sorry. You are quite right. I'm sorry. I take that back. Okay.
More good news.
Here's some more good. That's it. That'll do it. Here's more good news. This is to say that the HeroPress website has reached the 10-year milestone. HeroPress, if you don't know, is the foundation story of this is really interesting. It's right at the beginning. I'll just read it because it is interesting. In late November 2024, I woke up to an email. This is Topher DeRosier, by the way, who founded this. Woke up to an email that would change my life. It said, what a curious email. I want you to do something great for WordPress. I don't know if that's all that was in there, but that's what it said. Topher replied, what is it? He wrote back. And the reply that came to that was, that's your journey to discover. Honestly, it's like you met Yoda in your email or something like that. So Topher decided HeroPress was the way to do it. It seems like, and I didn't realize this, it seems like version one of HeroPress, whatever that was, ended in failure. It says everyone walked away and it was done. I don't know if that was a WP drama or not. But people kept emailing me and telling me to do it, and he did. And now HeroPress is one of those websites where you can go to and read inspiring stories about people from all over the world. And it, honestly, when you go to these WordCamps and these events all over the place, it is nice to meet these people in person. But a substitute for that would be something like HeroPress. So far to date, 278 essays have been published in 29 languages. That's pretty amazing. The story's coming out of 66 countries. And then more stats, 136 women, 134 men, 3 non-binary. And there they all are. Look at that in one hand. It's so cool. It's a roomful. And he's obviously keen to keep this project going. But as with all things, you know, if you're making content, you'll know how this goes. There is a financial cost to all of this. And so if you have appreciated what HeroPress have done, Topher goes into the explanation of the kind of support that they need. And you could boil it down, I suppose. Financial help would certainly be welcome. And there's a button right here to donate. But he doesn't just say, give us your money. It goes in to explain why. You know, why you might want to help and what your money would actually be helping with. So firstly, Topher and anybody that's been connected, including all of the people who've written the articles, thank you. I read this whenever new stuff comes out and it is really cool. I like it a lot. Anything else about this other piece of good news?
I love the fact that this seemingly started because of a spam email.
Yeah, it could have been.
Really, this was just somebody there going, I'm going to make my millions by convincing him.
No, I think it's really, that's the good part of WordPress. It's a community, and it's how many lives have changed. And just because of the journey that people take, you know, if I see what happens in Nepal or in other countries with people who take on WordPress, translate it, and then enable other people to use it and have their voices heard. So I don't know if that counts, Elliot. He wanted to some kittens or puppies. So click one of those.
Okay, so I'll give you a quick demo, right?
I just wanted to say, click on one of those stories, and then that counts as well.
Okay, just for those of you who want to see, you know, real cats. It's a breed. It's a tiny.
Let me finish having my drink.
I know. I did notice. Come back from the video, and everybody's picking their nose or something like that. Yeah. I'll keep it on a little bit longer next time. The cats and the kittens and all of the dogs and the sheep—they'll be coming later. Fear not. Okay, right. Okay, so there was Hero Press. Thank you for the people who've contributed to that, and well done for getting to 10 years. No mean achievement, that's for sure. Okay, here we go. Here's something. If you're in the southeast of the UK, seems like the perfect opportunity when I've got Tim on the call. On Halloween, 31st of October, Tim is going to be joining us in London at the a new thing that we're trying out. It's called the WPLDN Masterclass. And felt like 31st of October, you know, kind of scary spookiness. Tim's going to talk about auditing WordPress security like a pro. It is a paid for event. You can register by clicking on that button there. It's at wpldn.uk/masterclass. The normal WPLDN event, which is free, will be taking place on the same day right afterwards. So, the whole thing isn't bound up in a fee, but if you want to check Tim's stuff out, then yeah, you need to register for that. What are you covering, Tim, or haven't you decided yet?
No. Well,
no, you've decided.
I am trying to do myself out of a job. So it is basically, everybody should be doing secure site reviews, secure code reviews. A lot of people say they do it, not so much on the implementation side of things. And a lot of that is because there's a fear of, what do I do? How should I structure this? Does it need to be this big formal report thing? They see pen tests and go, oh, how do I use that equipment? All of that. So we're covering through how to audit your site, how to define what you should be looking at, finding things, and developing an action plan afterwards. But you're basically pinching all my processes and my SOPs, and you're getting those, and then you're getting me to tell you how to implement them on your site.
That's
brilliant for agencies, brilliant for developers. And if you are in the Southeast and your boss has not got you signed up on this, send them a DM, tell them to DM me, and I will give them withering looks.
And nice. A withering look photograph will come your way. Remkes, you were going to add.
No, I was going to say SOBs what, but the joke fell.
So yeah, that's happening on the 31st. So you got several days to sign up. We're doing it in the centre of London, near London Bridge, and the venue is it the Ibis? This one I can't remember. We've been working in the if you're an attendee of WordCamp in London. Summer. Yeah, then it's basically really, really close.
Who's that handsome man on the screen now, by the way?
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. That's very kind of you to say.
Why is he looking away from the text? That's
weird. Oh, you got to talk to Dan, maybe your brother. Yeah. Okay, so there it is. Check it out: wpldn.uk/masterclass. Go check that out. Another session, another thing which is happening I guess this is a virtual conference, so it's not in the real world, unlike the last one, but not far away now is WooSesh. It's a virtual conference for WooCommerce store builders designed to help grow your business. It comes around each and every year. I'm not a particular user of WooCommerce, so I can't really speak to what this event is like, but I know it's very, very popular. Is it?
It's good. It's been good for a great many years. Like there's people who build various different things for WooCommerce, and sharing that information, it's pretty much gold.
Nice.
Like it'd be not the smartest thing if you were to ignore this one.
Okay, that's a great way.
If you're building anything with WooCommerce at any time, then this is the thing to start paying attention to, because there's lots of people are going to share very beautiful ways of how to extend and work with WooCommerce.
Nice. Great. So the URL is woosesh, woosesh.com. And let's put it in the diary, 29th to the 30th of October. And then, of course, you can do the whole trifecta. Sign up for the 31st of October with Tim Nash, and you've done 3 days on the ride.
I don't know if people can handle that, though.
Oh, come on.
If I can do it, they can do it.
Sign up here. And it does say, I don't know quite what this means because I don't know what the sort of structure is, but it says 2 days, 20 speakers, 17 sessions, infinite fun.
Wow.
$799 down to free. Love it. And there's a selection of the speakers that I was just showing a moment ago. So some of them listening to this call as we speak. So there you go. Great. All righty. Right. Just want to point out that WP Accessibility Day was last week. That's right, isn't it? I haven't missed a week in all of this drama. No, it was last week. And my understanding is that if you were attending in person, that is to say live, you know, it was an online event that happened over a 24-hour period, then you were able to watch the event, including live captions, which is pretty amazing. And over here, we've got Mike Davey, who's somebody that works for Delicious Brains, who's giving their commentary on that. But I just want to point out that it happened. And the videos are going to become available really soon on the YouTube channel that they've got. So I don't really have anything to add to that other than that it happened and the videos will be coming your way. And I think, was there 24 of them? Was it one per hour? A bit like WordFest Live? I'm not entirely sure.
But, 24 hours. It was 24 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you. So. I'm not keeping an eye on the comments on this particular show. They were going too fast. Okay, so James, thank you, plus the Woo Seshies, very nice. And then a whole bunch of other stuff above there, probably to do with all the...
There's a really nice one from the other Birgit.
The other Birgit, this one?
Yeah.
I remember HeroPress starting and was once video interviewed for V1. Love reading all the essays and personal stories. That is nice. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Okie dokie. And related to that, what you can see on the screen is an article. It's not really WordPress news as such, but I just thought it slotted in nicely with the WP Accessibility Day. This is Digital Ally, A11Y, digitalally.com. And it's an introduction in how to write an accessibility statement for your website. So I haven't had to do that, but I just thought that was worth throwing in there. Okay, maybe this stuff could have gone more towards the beginning, but here we go. If you if you've been following the news, Josepha Hayden Champosi stepped down, I'm going to say 10 days ago, as the executive director of WordPress, and a replacement has now been sought and found. And the article that you can see here, please welcome Mary. I'm going to say Hubbard. I presume that's how you pronounce it. I suppose it could be Hubbard or something like that, but let's go with Hubbard. And the article says, we're proud to announce that Mary Hubbard has resigned as the head. I started reading that. I thought, okay, this is going in a strange direction. Normally begin with those words, but I guess they're trying to lend some sort of credibility to the career that Mary has had. We're proud to announce that Mary Hubbard has resigned as the head of TikTok America's governance and experience and will be starting as the next executive director of WordPress.org on the 21st of October, so a little over a week from now. It turns out that Mary has actually worked at Automattic before, from 2020 to 2023, and was the chief product officer for WordPress.com. And then it says here, so she has deep knowledge of WordPress and expertise across business, product, marketplace, program management, and governance. This is no reflection on Mary, because I don't have any experience with Mary whatsoever. But what a pair of shoes to fill in Josepha Hayden Champosi, who I just thought did an utterly remarkable job.
She did.
Yeah. Really, just quite a force of nature in the best possible way.
Yep.
You know, very calm and considered and thoughtful and able to sort of take on conflicting opinions and somehow out of that maelstrom managed to deliver a coherent, thoughtful response. I don't know how she does it. You know, you occasionally meet those people who can take two warring factions, if you like, and meld them together and get some sort of consensus out of it. So big shoes. But, you know, Mary, welcome. Let's hope that all turned out well. Anybody want to say anything? Maybe you know her. I don't know. Maybe some of you.
I don't know her. She comes from TikTok and Automattic, and that's pretty much all that I know about her. Yeah. Well.
Yep. Big.
Is basically, because it's not an easy time to start.
No, well, that was my thought, right? You know, like if Josepha had stepped down in, I actually don't know. I don't know if Josepha has even published a piece explaining the reasons behind it, but maybe we can.
Okay. Publish her goodbye.
Anyway, so for whatever reasons, maybe they'll become public in the future, maybe not, don't know. But certainly a difficult time to begin a job. At a time unlike any in WordPress. So I imagine Mary is going to have some fairly full hands dealing with the situations that are going on at the moment. Anyway, good luck. I hope it all works out. And here we go. Right. What's new for developers? Just so this is Nick Tadlock. Now there would be a... There would be a force
that
of nature.
Of Justin Diego?
Yeah. I like this idea that they merge together and there's just the two heads. Just
each other. Yeah.
Right.
Just on one body. Like, what was that dog? Well, Cerberus.
They need two lots of hands, though.
Yeah, double the typing speed. Yeah, that's right. So this is just such a relentlessly cool thing, which happens each month. It's the What's New for Developers, and obviously we're in the month of October. I'll just give you a big scroll, right? I mean, there's no way I'm going to be able to parse this because it's just hundreds and hundreds of lines of what is going on. But I've just highlighted a couple of things at the top. Talked about the block bindings API, so there's a little bit more information on that. And Birgit mentioned this zoom out mode, which honestly... When I heard that this was going to be a thing, I was like, I am never going to use that, but it's kind of interesting. And then I clicked the button and it was like, oh, actually, that's actually quite cool. And
I'm going to use it again.
Yeah, that's right. Use it the once. Yeah. But it was a bit like, you know, that experience that you get with things like Figma where you pinch and the whole UI that you've been creating just sort of, there it is. And you just get to see all of it in one frame. It was like that. And you just got this cohesive sense of, oh, that's what I've created. Not here's the viewport, scroll up, here's the viewport again. Just a much more rich, in-depth experience. And I guess if you're creating, I don't know, complicated patterns and they stretch over a long distance, this kind of thing will be really interesting. Anybody got anything on that? Zoom out mode? Maybe it's just me that's obsessing about that.
I'm really happy about it.
Oh, nice.
Especially when you want to add some patterns and you zoom out, you can exactly place them right away. And kind of see how they all flow in with the rest of it.
Yeah.
And that's really cool. And there are a few navigation buttons on the left, and where you can kind of on the left of the section that is. And where you can just kind of trash one of them because that doesn't fit in. And if you try that earlier with a pattern. Sometimes you couldn't delete it all because you couldn't kind of grasp it all. But you can also move them and drag and drop them. And it's nice to – it improves the pattern handling quite a bit, especially when you do long landing pages that you can just go add patterns and then move them around.
So if you're looking at the screen, you can see what I'm going to read. It says the new zoom out mode is no longer experimental. So, and obviously there were a few bugs and things, and it will be included in 6.7. With the click of a button, you get a zoomed out view of the editor canvas, making it easier to compose page layouts with patterns. It kind of reminds me of like an email builder, like some, you know, like MailChimp or something where you can sort of see the whole thing in one go. Has that kind of flavor to it. And I wasn't expecting that I'd find it in any way useful, but I did. And then we've talked about the new write and design modes. And okay, so this is also kind of interesting. So the drop-down menu, which you're probably familiar with, close to the sort of publish button, and it's got things like, you know, do you want to see it as a tablet, mobile, desktop, and what have you? Or you can click to open in a new tab or what have you. Well, now this is going to be extensible. So developers will now be able to drop in whatever custom menu item they want to add into there. So, you know, the sky is the limit.
That means it's going to be really cool for people who are do stuff like headless, for example.
Ooh.
Stuff where it's perhaps, because I'll be honest, when it comes to the preview, I just go to the visit site 9 times out of 10.
Yeah.
After a replay. And I think that's just age. But it's like, I just don't, it's like, I know it says that it gives me the other options, but it's like, I don't trust it unless I can see it on the page like that. So I imagine a scenario where you have a build pipeline that you might even be as able to have like a whole build pipeline and it pop out the other end in the preview. That would be
Oh, I see. Cool. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. That's a very good.
Yeah, so all of those developers out there, you're going to be able to tap into that. And there's a bunch of... Oh, there's some really interesting stuff happening with Playground. Playground is the one-click in-browser WordPress experience. So they've improved the website for that, but also the team is working hard on new features, including, this is cool, refreshless website deployment. So I'm guessing that, you know, as you start playing with things, it's going to update in the background. New query parameters for testing WordPress core and Gutenberg PRs, and there was also persistent storage. You will have the instant, each instant be able to add it to persistent storage, either in the browser or in a local directory on your device. And what I'm reading from that is that the site will be available to you when you come back 2 days later, even if you've closed the browser down, because at the minute, close the browser down, it's gone.
Imagine how this now can start become a platform to actually build apps and localized stuff that you would otherwise just find different ways of building. But you can now just use Playground.
Yeah.
Add all the code, make it sure that anybody can download and it works as you intended. That's
pretty sure what
the direction is going now.
So I've used local. Which is, you know, I guess you need to say these things these days, don't you? It's a WP Engine product, and it installs onto your desktop. But my understanding, I don't really know how it works. It's a bit of voodoo to me. But my understanding is that all of the bits and pieces are just stored in the file structure, in my case, on a Mac. So everything, I could drill down into the Finder and find that website and all of the files and what have you. So is this basically akin to that? You'll point Playground to, okay, save it there.
You can even see it a little bit better, because if you look at Studio from WordPress.com, that is built off of the same technology. So and it'll allow you to do that in a similar fashion. Yeah.
Oh yeah, Studio is the sort of it feels like local in that you've downloaded an app onto the
type of a different feature set and all that, but
right. Okay. So that persistent nature, I think that's going to be really interesting. I've said that I think that Playground is to iOS what the App Store is, if you know what I mean. Like, I think we're just going to suddenly have a load of people coming up with some really ingenious things. You know, WordPress is fun, the iPhone's fun, but combine the iPhone with an App Store and suddenly it's like, whoa, really fun. And I feel that's maybe what Playground will be, something truly amazing. Tim Biggett, anything on that before we move on?
I'm a total fan of Playground, and I have played around with a lot of blueprints to put sites together or site demos with additional content and WP CLI kind of added to that. And that's really cool, because you can now create a user experience of your plugin or of your theme that you don't have to put on a server and have to spin up 500 times to give it to your clients. You just give them the same link.
Yeah.
And that's really cool. Yeah. So.
Really nice. And then I'm wondering if one of you can take on the heavy lifting of explaining to my dull brain what's going on here. So this is the view meta boxes in the iFramed post editor. Just to be clear, this is the what's new for developers in October 2024. So this is kind of, you know, I suppose in a sense, it's like WordPress's bleeding edge in a way. And it says, in previous WordPress versions, meta boxes prevented the editor canvas from being iframed. An iframe canvas offers many benefits. What are those benefits? What is it that we're... Have any of you got any intuition on this? If not, we'll just move on, but... No,
I think it's more of the entities can be treated separately, so one can be updated and refreshed in the background, while the other one can do the same thing, but maybe 10 seconds later, because you then change something in the meta box. So it's becoming more of a real life app as you're building and writing and adding content and blocks and stuff in all the different types of meta boxes that you have available.
So does this tap into what you were talking about earlier with things like the block bindings API? You'd be able to sort of combine things? No?
No. That's more like if I'm in my Yoast SEO settings and I'm updating and changing stuff there, and I will have a better way of having that being refreshed as I'm doing what I'm doing, while the editor itself, someone else could also be in a different way, be writing content there. So this is, in a way, paving the direction for multiple people working on the same type of content. I'm assuming, but
yeah,
to me, that's where we're going.
That's
big, eh?
All right. Yeah,
okay, come on, that was my joke. I was going to do that another 12 times.
So another big advantage of having the block editor and the post editor and the site editor being the same interface is that a theme or a plugin developer can style everything. Like, it's what you see is what you get, and it's easier to style. If you have a non-iframe thing, you have to do different styles sometimes. Yeah, and it sometimes the what you see is what you get doesn't work like that. So you have different styles on the block editors and the front end. And having it all in the iframe, it makes it much easier for both of them to show how the block works.
Okay.
So that's definitely one of them. And everything else is kind of streamlined. The post editor are pretty much the same component. Yeah. And what only kind of leaves the post editor is the meta boxes. And now I think they have a good... they experimented quite a bit with that, what to do with the meta boxes, because there are quite a few plugins, yeah, like meta boxes, or that rely on the display of it. But now having two iframes, I think it's a good way to handle that.
I think we're at that moment where we need you to turn your camera off and on again. I lost only a couple of words, like the gist of everything that you said came across. So don't worry. Yeah.
Oh, sorry about.
No. Honestly, just literally a couple of words, and it was fine. Apart from that, okay. James Kemp dropping in to say, oh, so firstly, Elliot likes the zoom out feature. Thinks that's super cool. Nice UX. Okay, great for complex pages. Yeah, I guess once you. Like really onto some lengthy page, it lends itself really well to that, doesn't it? And then James Kemp says they want to rename blueprints. Any thoughts on that? Do you know what to, James, or is they just mooting the fact that they want to replace the name?
I really like the name blueprint.
I do too. I see zero need to do any changes to that.
Okay.
Same here. Yeah.
Right. Right. Okay. Yeah. That's it. It has been decided by Dicta. That it's not going to change. Don't worry, James. It's all a storm in a teacup. I don't know. That seems perfect for me because it literally does what I'm imagining a blueprint does.
Yeah.
It's got that perfect one-to-one mapping in my head of, yeah, so we don't endorse any change at all. Here we go. I've heard. Ooh, recipes.
Yeah, no.
Look at us all totting.
It's not good, is it?
It doesn't translate well.
It's information and design. A recipe is cooking.
Exactly. Yeah. Thank you.
Right.
And not putting ingredients in. That's something else.
James, all I can say is you need to take this important feedback to the people in high places and make sure that it's kept as blueprint.
All people do not like any changes, okay?
Playgroundy, I think playgroundy in the sense of like a child's playground, some sort of.
No, but hold on. There's companies building playgrounds. When they build them, they use blueprints.
Nice, you've sold it to me, Remkes. That's all you needed to say. But occasionally, they probably go home and cook as well.
Yeah, but they need a recipe for that.
Yeah, they bring a packed lunch. Okay. It's not my idea, says James. Yeah, it's okay. We're not trying to blame you. Don't worry. We don't hold you responsible, but if you wanted a panel, all you need to do is say, well, 100% of the people that I polled said it should be, should remain as blueprint. So there you go. That's it. We've done it.
Yeah.
So that article carries on. There's loads more in there. And if you are a developer, please
go to
very quickly on the playground as a thing that I'd love to see is blueprints in, blueprints out. I'd love this idea of having you start off by loading your blueprint, you make changes, and then the blueprint goes out. And the almost you can have the scenario if you've ever come across a live CD for a Linux system, a live boot,
yeah,
you
yeah,
plug in your USB stick or you plug in your CD and it would boot up and let you have Linux on your Windows machine. And it wasn't changing anything until you hit go and then it would wipe the hard drive. I can really see a really powerful use case for Playground where you like, you configure it how you like, and then you go, right, I'm ready to write it to disk.
So RFs, is that the better name for blueprints?
Is what?
No, never mind. Bad joke again.
Okay. Oh, it's all acronym jokes with Remkes today. I don't know. RF, I'm desperately going to be trying to figure that out during the course of the
Can
rest
of
the
day. Can you
say RM? RF? Yeah. RF.
He means RM. Hard drive.
Oh.
Remove.
Oh, yeah. Right, like hyphen RM. Yeah, with force recursive as well. Do that.
Yes, please.
Yeah. Okay. So please, if you are a developer and you haven't stumbled across this, go to developer.wordpress.org. And then in this case, it's /news and then follow it from there. But just sign up for this. Get this in your RSS feed because every month they're going to drop something. And it's, you know, just a ton of what's coming in WordPress. So that's really good. The team at WooCommerce and WeGlot have partnered up together. This article is pretty thin on the ground in terms of detail, but I'll just read you the very first sentence. It says, WeGlot, by the way, which is a translation service so that you can translate your WordPress website and now WooCommerce store into a variety of different languages. It says, WeGlot is excited to announce a new partnership with WooCommerce. WeGlot is now fully integrated with WordPress e-commerce plugin WooCommerce, providing a seamless way to translate your store in just minutes. I don't know how to do that. I didn't watch the video, but it just says, you know, simply add the WeGlot extension via WooCommerce and your WooCommerce store will now be fully translated. Now, it says that in the past tense, like it's going to sort of do it for you and displayed under language-specific subcategories in just a couple of clicks, not being sure how WeGlot works. I can't really tell you about that. But anyway, maybe James, who's in the comments, will know a little bit more. I don't know. But there's that. Anybody want to add anything?
It just automatically translate if you want that sort of translation.
Okay, so it's like an AI, click a button, it'll translate it type thing.
In a way, yeah.
Yep, okay, nice. Okay, thank you. That's helpful. And where's my other articles? Here we go. That one's kind of blank. I just thought this was kind of interesting. So we're now in an era where you really are at the point where if you're building client websites, you are going to be able to very, very soon hand over an editing experience to your clients, which kind of matches their expectation. I don't know, if they're just producing text, you could strip out the editor so that it behaves perfectly to that kind of process. If you want to do it, oh, I don't know, for different user roles or what have you. Nick Tadlock, he's back. It's Nick Diego. 15 ways to curate the WordPress editing experience. And this is just a laundry list of 15 ways that you can do exactly that. Modify the WordPress, the block editor, the site editor. And you can see it's tons of code. You've got to drop in the code, so I'm not going to dwell on it. But here's some examples of the, I'm going to say it, recipes. Blueprints. So it's things like disabling specific blocks, disabling block support, disabling user interface for locking blocks, disabling the inspector tabs, disabling OpenVerse. There's lots of disabling. Set the default image size, unregistered, blah, blah, blah. You get the idea. So if you're in... Go on.
What is the name of this show?
WP Builds.
And this podcast, what is its name?
This Week in WordPress. I feel like I'm walking into a trap. What's happened?
This article is more than three months old.
Oh, I know, but I've only just come across it, so it's going in.
A certain newsletter that you say that you read, if you would read it a little more carefully.
Oh, darn, I'm in evergreen. Trouble now. Right.
It is evergreen. I agree with that, but...
Yeah. Thanks, Birgit. Yeah. Yeah, take that, Remkes. It's evergreen. That's what I'm saying. He's right, though. It is a bit on the old side. And occasionally we do surface old content. A case in point is me.
Yeah.
Okay, see how I comedied my way out of that awkward moment? Right, okay. Anyway, this article's a bit stale. Don't bother reading it. Nick Diego to update stuff more often. You know, that's all. That's all I'm saying. Blame Remkes. Okay, what about this one? This is up to date.
This is from last week, from Felix.
Oh,
yes.
Okay, right. Okay. So it's a week out of date. It's not up to date enough. What I should do is I should do a daily show called This Day in WordPress every day. And
I don't know if the world could handle that.
At the minute, I would be able to do that easily. It could be this hour in WordPress at the moment, to be honest. Okay, and I'm not a big user of AI. And the only time I've really used AI is I've connected things, you know, SaaS services and WordPress plugins and things to ChatGPT. That's really my only experience. But I know that out there is a whole bunch of different AIs, and I can list the names, you know, things like Claude and Anthropic, but I don't really know too much about them. But somebody that does and is worrying about them is Felix Arntz from the performance team. And he's a Googler as well. And he's created a plugin called AI Services. And I don't know why, Remkes. I have a feeling that you're kind of into AI a bit, or you like to sort of get in. I don't know. Have I got that wrong? Do you?
Yeah, not in the hardcore way, but I do more than use it for content generation.
Okay.
Type of stuff. But this is a nice plugin because it's basically wanting to service the connection to the APIs in a unified way. So anything you need additional stuff happening in your WordPress site, you can use this as a base. Basically, this WordPress plugin introduces central infrastructure, which allows other plugins to make use of its AI capabilities. That is the key sentence of this plugin.
So it enables you to just have this like one stop shop, if you like, and everything sort of binds to that.
Yeah, and then you build on top of it. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Yeah. And it's all the hotness at the moment, and you know, everybody's talking about AI. It seems like a really good time to do this. So it's really new. In fact, it's so new that it's got loads of caveats written all over it. Consider this plugin early access at this point. There are lots of enhancements and things that need to be polished. Don't use it on production, that kind of thing. So I'll just read. The WordPress plugin introduces central infrastructure, which allows plugins to make use of AI capabilities. It exposes APIs that can be used in various contexts, whether you need to use AI capabilities in server or client-side code. API agnostic, so you can use Anthropic, Google, OpenAI to learn, to name but a few, and you can use any of them in any way that you wish. So very cool. Thank you, Felix. Anything else on that before I move on?
And just to say, I really like framework-based plugins. This idea that he's not going, I'm going to go and I'm going to build out this huge complicated thing with millions of features. Instead, he's gone, well, over time, this landscape's going to change. Well, we're always going to want to have like a little core thing where we're going to be interacting with these eight, because ultimately all this is a wrapper to interact with a bunch of AI services.
Yep.
And then expose those endpoints to other plugins. But I really like that as a look, well, I'm going to start with this really small thing, and then you can add your own blocks on. And this is a really good way to develop plugins. And I wish more people would think about it from that perspective. It's fast, it's more secure and simpler. And we can do with simplicity, because sometimes we make things ridiculously overly complicated, especially with AI.
Yeah. Oh, boy. And there it is. You can see it. It is called AI Services.
Tim has more to say on the topic, by the way.
Oh, I apologize. I thought we'd finished.
No, I more meant like Tim was very eager to start another point of... No.
Keep going, Tim.
No. I just like that. I like the idea of the plugin as much as the concept.
Yeah, I agree. This is the smarter way to build.
I'm gonna wait so long now just to make sure that everybody's.
Well, even if somebody wanted to dip their toes into it,
speaking. Has everybody finished now? Can I move on? So there it is.
Thing.
Oh, shush.
Nathan.
No. Okay, so there we go. AI services, very cool in the AI space. Oh, and a thank you kind of thing. Jeff Starr, Plugin Planet. He's been producing WordPress plugins for over 10 years. Well, 10 years now, 10-year anniversary. For Plugin Planet, he's got lots and lots of different offerings, things like BBQ, which, and he's got the pro versions for all these as well, but BBQ, Banhammer, Black Hole, GA, Google Analytics, Simple Ajax Chat, and USP Pro. If, do you know what? I am about to say something that could be utterly wrong. Didn't Jeff write a book with Chris Coyer back in the day about, was it Jeff that did that digging into WordPress back in like 2008 or something? Was it Jeff?
Yeah.
I had a feeling it might be. Oh, great. That's one memory that I still got left.
He wrote a book. I don't know if it was that book.
Yeah. Well, somebody Google it quickly, digging into WordPress and see if Jeff Starr's name is bound to it with Chris Coyer. I think it was the pair of them.
I think you're right.
Yeah. Okay, good. That sentence will never come out of your lips again.
ChatGPT says you're right, Nathan.
Yeah, that's right. This is the title for this week's episode.
No, I'll give you that credit when that credit is due again.
Okay, yeah, thank you.
You just need to work harder at it.
Yeah, you're right. I need to crib your newsletter less. Anyway, there you go. So he's offering a bit of a giveaway. You can get money off his licenses as a way of sort of celebrating getting to 10 years and 1.5 million users. A real success story in WordPress. And I feel like, I don't know, he's just one of these people that puts out the right stuff in the right way. I don't know what that means, but there's just something about him which I really like. Right, we're closing it out. This is another thing in WooCommerce.
Woo!
Brands is now available. Again, I'm not a WooCommerce user, but my understanding is that the brands feature, so, you know, the ability to literally create.
You never bought anything in a store that turned out to be a WooCommerce store.
Yeah, probably.
And you are a WooCommerce user.
Yeah, well, there you go. All right. I meant back end, kind of WordPressy WooCommerce user. Okay. I'm getting schooled this episode by Remkes. It's good. I like it. But the brands feature, which used to be commercial, is now being rolled into WooCommerce Core. So this idea to, I don't know, create, manage brands and assign them to products and things like that. And it says here it's similar to categories. It's completely free. So that's quite nice. Right. I'm on a bit of a rush now because we are running out of time. Birgit wanted me to mention this one. We're very fast. This number is tantalizingly close to 1,000. A bit of a milestone, right? Absolutely. Was it Birgit? Was somebody else the one that put this in the show notes? I can't remember.
No, it was me.
Okay.
It was me.
Do you want to add anything?
No, I really like the variety of all the blog themes that come out now, and having 1,000 in there, I think a lot of people will find a good fit for their new website. And even if they say, okay, I want to change over from a classic theme to a blog theme, there's plenty of choices now. I really like it. We are two themes away from 1,000, so it's kind of really cool.
Yeah, maybe you never know. By the end of this week, we'll have eclipsed that. But I do remember at the beginning, it was like in single digits, and then it was in the low double digits, and it never felt like it was going to tick up. And I think Matt's intuition or inspiration was that it was going to get to 5,000 by the end of 2001 or something. And it never quite gained that momentum. But it feels I haven't looked at that number for ages. But obviously, it's at some point started to rise, and so 1,000 is a pretty credible number. Yep.
It's getting a lot more mature, so it makes way more sense to build now in the last 12 months than before, in my mind.
I'm going to show my ignorance. Does being classified as a block theme mean it's full FSE?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Hybrid? Yeah.
Yes. The tag is actually full site editing.
Right.
Your theme.
Yeah. So, you know, you can drill down by different features and subject matter and things like that. But anyway, you've got 1,000 to choose from. So definitely getting to the point where there's going to be something which is very likely to hit what you want. And obviously there's a load of commercial ones out there to look at as well. Right. We really are getting close. This is very, very cool. For the longest period of time, we kept talking about how the plugin review team was just basically under the hammer. I know that a lot of the processes have now been kind of automated, and there's been a lot of education going on to make sure that the team know how to expedite plugins that are being reviewed. But I don't know if it's still on zero, but we got down to zero for a period of time. There were no plugins that were waiting to be reviewed. So if you are a creator of a brand new plugin, now's the time, because it'll be done by Friday
Kudos to the team, because that's an amazing feat.
Yeah, pretty amazing. They're all getting checked by the, I think it's called the plugin checker. Is that it? Just called plugin checker? Anyway, there's a lot of automated stuff, which I think has weeded out a lot of the sort of headspace that was needed to get that work done. So brilliant. And David Perez, I've just screenshotted something on Twitter X. And again, this was not mine. So I don't know who posted this one.
This was mine.
Okay, Tim, tell me what this is. Hosting tests.
Okay, so basically many years ago now, a hosting team was generated at WordPress to basically support WordPress in various hosting companies. And one of the things they wanted to do is come up with like a common testing mechanism to make sure things worked across a multitude of hosts. And this is now being expanded a lot more. There were some tweaks and changes that have been made. I basically wanted to mainly say, put it on to celebrate that this team's success is going on behind the scenes, because I think it's really important what we're doing, making sure that, because WordPress has to work in some very strange places, and the hosting team deals with some very weird setups.
Yeah, I was talking to, who was I talking to? I was talking to, oh my goodness me, this is so bad. I can't remember their name.
Not him.
Andy Fragan, the other day, about the automatic rollbacks feature for automatic updates. And he was saying there were so many weirdy edge cases for different hosting environments and things that were, I don't know, using VirtualBox and things like that. Just so many edge cases. Right, that's it. I think we've done it. And I think we've all got through it with a certain degree of, you know, not destroying ourselves. So well done, team. We got through it. There was a couple of nice comments. I mean, there was a couple of comments that came through basically saying, look, get into the subject. You know, if we don't talk about it, we won't solve it. And then there were other comments saying, look, nice, you're dodging it. So anyway, that's the way we do it over here. So yeah, this has been this year in WordPress, Remkus, just so that you're satisfied, you know, we've done the whole year. Yeah, 2024. And I think I'm going to call this one automatic updates.
Not Remkus is right?
No, that's never what it's going to be called, Remkus. You know, it's just very little chance of that. No. Oh, maybe, I don't know. But before we end it, firstly, a great big thank you to all of my guests. And I appreciate your good humor, trying to get through that stuff and being cordial with each other. And I appreciate all the nice comments that came through. That's really nice as well. Only one thing to do, and you know what that is. It's to stick those hands in the air. Oh, yeah. No. Well, it's Tim. What the heck?
Come on, Tim.
All right. Okay. That's no. I don't know which one I'm going to go for there. That's fine. Thank you so much. We'll be back next week. Hopefully the sky will not have fallen in, but thank you for joining us on this episode of This Week in WordPress. What is about to happen is about 1 minute and 19 of cats, dogs, and sheep, just to calm you down. Okay, the sky's not falling in. Everything's going to be okay. I'll see you soon.